Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome along to a real-world road test. We're in the US to acquaint ourselves with a US model of a car that I think, actually, if it came to Europe, would do rather well. This is a rather fetching blue Honda. Not a Honda like you might have seen before if you're not in the US. This is an off-road version of the Honda Pilot, Trail Sport.
Real World Road Test on RadioLeMans.com.
Right, first of all, a little bit of history about the model itself. This is Honda's almost full-size SUV. I say almost because we would think of it as a full-size SUV in Europe, but here they are a lot larger than this, but it does have a seven-seat option. At the moment, the back two seats are folded down. There is quite a bit of room there, particularly if you slide the middle seats forward. Now, in this one, there are two separate captain's chairs with roll-down or fold-down armrests, but you can get a bench that moves forward to give more room in the back, and actually there's quite a lot of room in the back. It also makes it very easy to get in. With the back seats up, you can do your shopping in it, but probably not much more. But with the back seats down, it's absolutely huge. And of course, if you really need to carry something long, you can flatten the front or the middle pair of seats as well. As I'm standing at the back underneath the tailgate at the moment, let's talk about this Trail Sport. It is the off-road version. Now, Honda even say themselves, but certainly looking at this car, this is not something that you would go and do the Rubicon Trail with. You probably could, and you'd probably get a goodly way through it, I would think, because it's got good attack and departure angles, 18 degrees with the short overhangs. It's also got a tow hitch built on as well, and some extra underbody protection and cladding, as well as a very nice set of chunky Continental tyres, which are the Terrain Contact AT tyres on 18-inch rims, which are a dark grey Trail Sport branded rim. I actually really like it. It makes the car look very capable. A bit of black body cladding as well around the wheel arches in the side. Nice big wide opening rear doors that also aids getting into those back seats if you're going to use them. From the back, it's quite a good looking car actually. A little bit of a spoiler over the tailgate. Privacy glass from the B pillar backwards. Has a look of, what would I think, maybe a Ford Explorer or a Dodge Durango or something like that, with that big trapezoidal rear window. A lot of black on this car, on this light blue colour. It looks rather good, to be honest, including a satin finish around the windows and the roof bars as well. Moving down the side, a couple of nice big door mirrors. Gloss black door handles as well. This has got a proximity key, so if you hear it beeping, that's because I'm moving around and the doors are locking and unlocking. Nice little nod is that the side mirrors, the door mirrors, shaped a little bit like the Honda crest, which I think is nice. They're in gloss black as well. And heading round to the front, a very aggressive front end with a gloss black grille with a huge Honda H in it. The Trail Sport logo, which is a little mountain range, is picked out in bright orange. The headlights, multi-faceted and multi-sectional, go back into the wings. And the bonnet is a clamshell bonnet. And that builds up to the ear pillar with quite a steep rake, actually. I do like the front of this car. There's no doubt it's a Honda because, you know, you've got a six-inch wide Honda H on there. A couple of air intakes on the front, which are ducting air towards the brakes. I don't know how important that is. A lot of cooling going on behind the grill for not just the engine, but also there's gearbox coolers and differential coolers and things like that. All in all, yeah, it's pretty... I don't think it's fearsome, but it's certainly telling you that it's capable. Right, let's quickly nip inside and have a look at the accommodation. I've done the sitting behind myself test, and there's bags of room, even with the front seat in my driving position, and even with the middle seats folded, or at least positioned, all the way forward, as if you were going to have somebody in there. I've seen people describe this as rather old-fashioned inside. I disagree. I'm delighted to see that we've got three rotary controls for the aircon, heating, etc., right in the middle, exactly where you'd expect them to be, on a dashboard that is relatively soft touch, with the double stitching picking out the Trail Sport orange again. Seats are leather look, but are in fact synthetic, with the Trail Sport logo on the headrests. You've got two USBs, one standard, one of the smaller ones, plus a 12-volt output in the centre console, two cup holders. It's push-button for the gears. You don't have a gear stick or a selector, and it's a 10-speed automatic. More about that when we get on the road. There are also a variety of drive modes. It's been mostly an economical, to be honest, in the nearly 600 miles, just over 600 miles, that I've done since we picked the car up. There's a brake hold feature, a downhill retarder, and start-stop. You can take that off if you want to. Nice big centre console, which is lovely to put your elbow on because it's nice and soft. Well, I think... you've got to say it. Very sensible... rubberized mats, again, with the Trail Sport logo in. I'm not saying you could hose this out, but it does give you the sense that this car has been built to be used, to be climbed in and out of. The doors go all the way down under the sills, so you don't get dirt if you've got your trousers, got a light-coloured trouser on, and you're jumping in and out. You're not going to get dirt on the calves of your trousers or on the bottom. For anybody who's wearing a dress, on the bottom hem of your dress or skirt. Two memory positions for the seats, electric windows all around, mirrors, etc. You can all program that. Hazard flasher switch in the middle. A fairly sensible set of controls with just two stalks, one either side, headlights, side lights, fog lights on the left with indicators, and your windscreen wipers, including the intermittent wipe and your tailgate wipe as well, on the right. A steering wheel that doesn't frighten you too much, and it's heated, as are the front seats, with a couple of thumb wheels, actually one thumb wheel and two multiple switches. The best thing about this, it's got a single button that you can press to decide whether you want the lane assist, the active lane assist, to stay on, radar cruise, and a little set of buttons that you can tune your dashboard and the centre display. The centre display is sitting up out of the top of the dashboard, rather like Mazda do, although this one is a touchscreen. You can navigate around some of it without having to do the touchscreen, and I do sort of, you know my feelings on that. This is the Trail Sport. This is around about the middle of the range, but none of the cars are much more than $50,000. In fact, bizarrely, the Touring, it might be a Touring or an Elite, has just pulled up opposite me in the car park in which we're sitting at the moment, in a lovely silver colour, and that's got more silver accents on it, where this is a bit more roughy-tufty off-road, and everything's either gloss black or satin black. So that's quite interesting that I've just seen that car pulling up opposite us. So that's what it looks like when you're sitting behind it. All in all, I think this is a pretty good place to be. We've got a panoramic opening glass sunroof with a full blind. The front part opens, the back part doesn't. The rear seat passenger has their passengers, middle seat passengers, have their own controls for air and air conditioning and heating. And are there? No, there aren't any air outlets on the B pillar, but there are seat belts, inertia rail seat belts, for all of the seats. Now, strictly speaking, I suppose you'd see it right now. This is 2, 4, maybe a 7-seater if you squeeze 3 in those back seats. Probably more likely a 6-seater. But with the bench seat option in the middle, they do claim it's an 8-seat option. So that's 2 in the front and then 2 3s. And the 2 3s all have inertia rail belts, one of them very cleverly coming down from the ceiling. Nice chunky feel to the steering wheel. The visibility, I think, is pretty good. I'm still, even in an SUV, put my seat quite low down, but I still feel like I can see all of the corners. So all in all, a nice package to look at. It's certainly comfortable to sit in. But what's it like on the road? Does the off-roadness compromise what I suspect would have been a very, very comfy and competent car on the road? Well, let's find out as we get this Honda Pilot V6 3.5-litre Trail Sport out and moving.
Real World Road Tests on RadioLeMans.com.
Right then, here we are out on the road in the Honda Pilot Trail Sport. I'll tell you a little bit about the car itself. Full size SUV, up to 8 seats, although this one's got the captain's chairs in, so that cuts it back just a little bit. The engine is a 3.5-litre V6. Now, in the most modern version of this car, that's an engine that is unique from Honda America to this vehicle. Used to share with Odysseys and various other things, but the new version of the engine, which is double overhead cam, has been specifically designed with lots of torque. So if you do go off-road in this car, you should be all right. Plenty of low down pulling power and a little V6 growl. It sounds a little bit busy, if I'm honest, if you rev it all the way up to the 6,500 RPM red line. In fact, actually, even before you get to that, it's just a little bit gruff, but it's a V6. It does what it says on the tin. 285 horsepower, so it's not massively overpowered, but I think it's enough for this car, and the torque figures are very good indeed. The car tows, by the way, up to 5,000 pounds, so that'll give you an idea of just how decent that engine is. Out on the road, it cruises very nicely at 60, 65, 70 miles an hour, and it's really quiet. The engine is really quiet when it's ticking over. It's pretty quiet when you're running on the road. Checking that and pull out here. And I'll tell you how quiet it is, actually, that this proximity key means you just shut the car up and walk away. When you get to a certain distance, the car beeps and locks itself and folds in its door mirrors. I couldn't for the life of me understand, when we were parked up at Sebring International Raceway, why the lights wouldn't go off, and even using the key fob, why I couldn't get the doors to lock. It was only when I walked back to it the second time that I realised I hadn't turned the engine off. And I'd been round the back to unpack some of the gear that we were taking up to the studio, and even then I hadn't noticed that the car was still ticking over. So congratulations, Honda, you've made a 3.5 litre, nearly 300 horsepower V6 that, whilst not silent, is not a million miles away from that. And that was even when I was standing by the tailpipes. So in terms of the engine itself, it's not going to turn heads. This blue colour certainly does, and the accoutrements of the off-road pack, the trail sport pack, do give this car a very different look to, say, the Touring or the Elite, which stand above it in the range. This one's right in the middle of the range, which starts at around about, well, just under $40,000 and goes to just under $50,000. Not really much to add in terms of options, a couple of paint bits and pieces, but really the model lines themselves are, or the model names themselves, basically give you the clue as to what packs you're getting in it and how it behaves. Now, this car has got a variety of drive modes, starting off with economy, which is where we are now. And then if I just pull up here, I'll just... got somebody behind me, so let's move down this little side road here. And starting off in economy, if I flick it up one, then it goes to normal. Sport is the other one. And if I go the other way, I've got snow, trail, sand, and tow. You can probably hear it beeping. Right, back in economy. It does like a beep, this car. And sometimes it's quite difficult to understand what it's trying to tell you. Nice clear dashboard, very traditional, although it's a TFT screen. And I find this quite relaxing to drive. It's been eating up the miles rather easily. Whether the roads have been smooth or less so, the suspension has worked pretty well. I think it's impressive how it controls the body roll on a car this size. Look, it's not a sports car, and you wouldn't want to be throwing it around like a Honda Civic R. That's not what this car is built for. Just a couple of things on the driving experience. Pretty good sight lines on this car. Good visibility, even though the ear pillars are pretty thick up front here. But in this left-hand drive car, when you are looking to your right when you're pulling out of a junction, your vision is very much dependent on where your front seat passenger is sitting and how far they've slid forward and back. The B pillar doesn't really get in the way, but that is quite crucial. And also, despite the fact that you're sitting up high, it's quite difficult to see things that are on the right-hand side of this left-hand drive car, so passenger side, around about where the right-hand side door mirror is. There is a bit of a blind spot there. But that said, I don't think any worse than any other car of this size and shape. And although it is quite a big car, I found it relatively easy to park. There's front and rear cameras on this car. It's also got off-road terrain cameras as well that you can use. Haven't tried that off because haven't really tried that out because we haven't really done any serious off-roading. Did park on grass a couple of times, but I don't think that counts. So the car itself cruises nicely. Nearly 30 miles to the gallon, American gallons, in the cruise over the 600 miles or so that we've done with this Honda Pilot Trail Sport. One thing that does slightly bug me, and it's just a tiny thing, I like to reset the trip meter when I pick the car up, and then I have a running total on the A button, and maybe you have an individual trip on the B button. They automatically reset every time that you turn the car on and off, but I've been keeping notes, So that's how I know what we've been getting. The best that we've seen is just over 30 miles to the gallon, 31, running around backwards and forwards on a 15-minute journey to and from the track. You're going to be looking at something more towards the middle 20s to the American gallon. It runs on a variety of petrols. You don't need to have the full premium on it, but of course, the better fuel you put in, the more the engine likes it. So having not tested it off-road, which, you know, this is a trail sport, perhaps I haven't done this car real justice. But everything else that we've tried with it has worked very well indeed. And I think it's more than competent. And for the price that you're paying here, that would make some of its competitors look very expensive indeed. There is an air of premium quality in here. There is a close cousin, which is an Acura, which of course is a little bit more plush again. But I think for the money, you'd go a long way to beat this car. And if you need something to carry a number of people, then this does the job very well. Added to that reasonable mileage, that nice, silky smooth V6 and the towing capacity, it is a very compelling package indeed. Such a shame we don't get it in Europe. I think it would sell at the right price. It's the Honda Pilot Trail Sport V6 3.5 litre. And it's been fun. Right, off to give it a few more miles before I turn it in at Miami Airport.
Another real-world road test. Check out more at RadioLeMans.com. This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.